go with me to 2 Samuel, the 21st chapter. We're going to start at verse 1. It's a bit of scripture, but I just need you to hang out with me. Then there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years. Year after year, David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, "It is for Saul and his bloody house because he slew the Gibeonites." I'm reading out the King James Version, so it might be a little different. "And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them," now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. "Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you, and wherewith shall I make the atonement, that ye may be blessed, may bless the inheritance of the Lord?" So he's like, I what can I do to make this right? Verse 4 says, "And the Gibeonites said unto him, we will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house. Neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, that ye shall say, what will I do? And they answered the king, and the man, they answered the king, the man that consumed us and that devised against us that we should destroy from remaining in the coast of Israel. So let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose." And the king said, "I will give them." But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because the Lord's oath was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. We're going down a little further. Okay, let's just hang out with me. But the king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, say Rizpah, okay, who she bare unto Saul, Armani and Mephibosheth, and the 5 sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought forth, who she bought up for Adriel, the son of, there's a lot of names, y'all. All right, we're just going to pass over them names, all right? They're not important to the story. Check this out. And he delivered it, verse 9, "And he delivered it into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them on the hill before the Lord. And they fell, all 7 together, and were put to death in the days of the harvest of the first days, in the beginning of the barley harvest." 2 more verses. "And Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of the harvest until the water dropped upon them out of the heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night." Last verse, verse 11. "And it was told to David what Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. So he gathered up the men and he buried them." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what your word will do in us and through us. Father, we ask you that you would invite us into your banquet table and let us feast until we want no more. Ah, God, let your word be alive in us. We give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Thank you so much, Jonathan. You're so dope. Oh, man. I want to talk a little bit with the subject, don't dishonor the weight. Don't dishonor the weight. We see here in this story that when Joshua and the children of Israel had went over to Jericho and were possessing Canaan, they made an oath with the Gibeonites that they would not harm them. And so it was like this unspoken rule. And Saul, in his zeal, went and started killing the Gibeonites. And so God, because of Saul, shut the heavens up. Now, it's an interesting thing about famine because it's a slow burn. Okay, so the water stopped. So then that means eventually the grass and the crops start to die. That means then the river starts to dry up. You see the process. So you don't notice it as a famine until the banks, you start seeing the bank of the river get lower and lower and lower until the grass gets browner and browner and browner. The crops get brown. You see what I'm saying? And so this famine is happening, and it's not happening just to part of Israel, but it's happening to everybody, whether they were saved. And the crazy thing is that none of these people had anything to do with the death of the Gibeonites. It's interesting the way God operates and moves, because God does not value things the way we value them. Can I preach how I feel tonight? He does not value life the way we value life. Now, that does not mean that God doesn't place value on that we're not in a high esteem in God's eye. No, but the way he sees our lives, he does not see us just on an individual level. He also sees us in the grand scheme of the plan. Amen, somebody. So when God sees me, God sees me as Matthew Grant, but he also sees me in the body of Christ, right? So the body of Christ is the plan, right? Amen.
Okay.
If the body of Christ is the plan, then my individual self is a part of a bigger plan. So Rispa has her two sons. And now Rispa is an interesting character because she's a concubine of Saul, has two sons, and she's not only affected by the famine, but she's also about to lose her sons. Interesting part. But the story goes is that God says this thing got to be made right because Saul broke the rule. Now, Rispa, we talk about value in life. We talk about how way God weighs out. The way God values life is that he says, Israel is my plan. And though Mephibosheth and Armani are important to you, Rispa, Israel is important to me. So if this means these two have to die so that Israel can be saved, I need them to be a part of the plan. Okay, watch this. Why am I saying it like that? Because there's two types of people. Watch this. Two types of people. There's people that are letting life happen to them, and there's people that are living for the purpose of God. Okay, so when we look at Rispa, when we look at her sons, when we look at the plan of God, the ultimate plan of God was not just to bring rain to Israel. No. The ultimate plan of God was to bring Jesus to the world, right? That was the plan. Because the ultimate plan was that I got to redeem man so that man can live and be and walk and talk the way that I created them from the beginning. So I got to bring Jesus at the perfect time. I got to bring Jesus at the perfect time, in the perfect season, so that when he comes, he can redeem the whole thing. So when Saul messed up, God killed him. When David messed up, God killed everyone around him, but not David. Why? Y'all remember God told David, don't count the people. What did David go do? Went to count the people. And it would have been easier if God would have said, you know what, David, I'm sick of you, and just took him out. No, he didn't do that. What he did was, I'm going to kill 10,000 of your men. Now, were they valuable to God? Yes. But the plan was, Jesus has to come out of this house.
I need y'all to hear what I'm saying today. The purpose and the plan of God is greater and deeper. So when I am living my life for the purpose of God, I got to get into the plan. I got to understand what the plan is. I can't go against the plan. I can't go against, because life's not just happening to me. There is something. God does not waste anything in the kingdom. So that means that if this is happening to me today, there has to be a purpose. If I get sick in my body, it's not just because God is mad at me and he wants to get me sick. There's got to be a purpose. Maybe I was sick so that everybody in the hospital got healed. See, because you're walking with authority and power and demonstration and all of that inside of you. So God sent you to the cancer ward so every doctor heard the gospel of Christ. They come in and they say, Jerry, why you smiling? You dying? Because I know a man named Jesus. Now everybody on the flow saved. All the doctors, they met a man. Y'all hear what I'm saying? The purpose is bigger than me. I'm not here just for me. I'm not going through just for me. Rispa's sons did not die because of her. It was greater. Y'all hear what I'm saying today? There's a famine. The Bible talks about Joseph. Now, here's where we get sometimes. Joseph gets a coat of many colors. He's the favorite of the boys, right? You know, he's the favorite. And then he gets put in the pit. If they had their way, they would have killed him. And so he gets in the pit. And then they sell him to the Ishmaelites. And then he gets sold into slavery into Egypt. Now he's in Egypt. Now he's in prison. Say, Potiphar, we need somebody to work in Potiphar's house. So he goes to Potiphar's house. And he gets there. Now she lied on him. And he back in prison. He ain't did nothing wrong. All he did was be born. Now he's back in prison. And y'all, when we read the story, sometimes we look at it and we think of like, you know, like this is like a weekend or something. Like this is like happened just a couple days, a couple months. No, these are years and years, decades even of just time. But guess what? When Joseph was just a little kid, I saw the moon and the star, and I saw the moon and the sun, and I saw the 12 stars bowing down and 11 stars bowing, and I saw this and I saw that. And so all he could see was being great among his brother. But the plan was, there's a famine coming, and if I gotta get you to the palace. I got to get you to the palace at the right time, because what I'm about to do is I'm not just going to save you from the famine. I'm not just going to save Egypt for the famine, but what they had gathered from the famine 430 years later, they took out of Egypt into the promised land. Y'all remember when the scripture said, he says, go to your Egyptian neighbors and borrow from them. That was a good place to say wow or something. Joseph, I got to put you in the pit. Joseph, they got to lie on you. Joseph, they got to conspire to kill you. Joseph, they got to do all of this stuff to you, because it ain't about you in this season, Joseph. What it is that I got to get you in. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I got to get you to the palace, but the palace ain't about you either, because there's a famine coming. You can't see it. All you see is a coat. All you see is I'm going to be great in front of all my brothers. And God says, no. The plan is bigger than that. The plan is bigger than that, because I made a promise to your great-granddaddy, and I told your granddaddy that it I told your granddaddy that I was going to give him this land. So I got to get you over here so you can get the land that I promised y'all. Because God keeps his word. When I say God don't value us the way we value us, He trusts us more than we trust us. That's a word. Why would I say God trusts me more than I trust me? Because I fumble the ball all the time. And I get in my own head. This got to be it. This I'm looking. Remember when Peter and them, Peter, John, I think it was James, and maybe you know the book. They get up on the mountain, and Peter's like, "Y'all, let's build three tabernacles. We put one for Jesus." And that's exactly how we be. We get to a place. This is it. We supposed to be here. And God says, "It's bigger. It's deeper. It's bigger than that." God on this, y'all. So then what am I saying? Where am I going? What am I doing? What does this have to do with don't dishonor the weight? I'll get back to that in a minute. The Bible says that the famine was coming. Joseph, you don't know it yet. So he begins to call what we like to call in biblical philosophy, we call it divine providence, where he starts moving other pieces of the puzzle to get his job done. Okay, so then he has the baker and the cupbearer arrested too. And not only does he do that, but then he gives them dreams. We don't hear about whether the cupbearer gave his life to Jesus and went on to heaven. We don't know nothing about that. But we do know that there was a time coming that a famine was going to break out. And God needed to store up something for his people. So I got to get all of these pieces together. What's beautiful about God is that he's working in other people's life, putting people in place to bless you. Yo, you got to understand. Okay. I am 38. So Steve Williams is one of my spiritual fathers. Okay. So now Steve Williams, God, as pops right there. God, before I was born, God had to put Steve in place to make certain decisions and certain things happen so that in 2015, he would meet me. Because the plan was, Matthew, I got to get you from Kansas City all the way to L.A. because I got to put you in Hollywood. Now, that's what I thought when I got saved, that I was going to Hollywood. But God also said, but I got to put Steve on the path, too. So let me work this thing out so that Steve gets to church on the way and Matthew gets to church on the way so they can meet and so he can drop the word and speak a word and cover him for where I'm taking him. Oh, y'all, but check this out. He then began to put other people's life on path. It had nothing to do with me, but it had to do with the greater plan. Do you see what I'm saying? You are part of something bigger and greater than yourself. And so, God, show me how you value me so I can live that way. Somebody give God a shout of praise. Listen. Sometimes God will send you on a journey that makes no sense, but he knows you. Go to Exodus real quick. Exodus 13. I feel God on this today. God. Exodus 13. Exodus 13. Watch this. My goodness. Exodus 13. Where is it? All right. Exodus 13, verse 17 and 18. Watch this. You got it? Watch this. It says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said,
lest peradventure the people would repent when they see war and return to Egypt. What? So God took them through the wilderness. There was a shorter way, but God knew that if they went the shorter way, they would go back to Egypt. So I got to take them the longer way because I know them. Sometimes we sit here in our lives and we complain about the journey because, and this is where the dishonor and the weight comes from. We complain about the journey. We complain about the time it's taken us to get there, not understanding that if he gave it to you now, you will squander it. Oh, y'all. If he gave it to you now, you will mishandle it. So I gotta wait. Y'all gotta hear this. Y'all gotta hear this. Because when they got in the wilderness, they realized that the God that they've been worshiping in Egypt was not the same God that they actually really knew. They didn't really know him. So God had to take them through the wilderness to get Egypt and all that junk and all that mess out of them. Now they didn't know that they didn't know God. They didn't know that they needed... You did not know that you needed to pray more. You did not know that you had an attitude problem. You did not know that your heart... Y'all hear me today. You didn't know. You didn't know that all of this... Yeah. That you were selfish and that you were full of pride. And so God took you on a journey so that that stuff could rise up in you. So because where he's taking you, it has no place for. Yeah, I used to live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was sitting there and I was a pastor. Pastor Maddie is what they called me. Pastor Maddie. And I got there and it was snowing. And I went to shovel the snow. I'm a pastor. Well, I'm shoveling the snow. This is where my mind was, okay? I'm a pastor. Well, I'm shoveling the snow. So I'm out here shoveling the snow. And I'm thinking I'm ready for a compliment and a pat on the back from the pastor. So I shoveled the snow. I didn't shovel the sidewalk. I just shoveled the walkway. I come in. You know when you do something and you're feeling yourself on it? I come in the church. My coat off. I'm feeling good. I'm ready for this pat on the back and this compliment. And the pastor looks out the window. He says, "You didn't shovel the sidewalk." And he said, "Somebody could slip out there and fall." I don't know. No, thank you. Nothing. Somebody could slip, fall, and sue the church. Y'all know everything black and from the ghetto rose up. And I go upstairs, and I slam my gloves down. I said, "Man, did he say it? Thank you. You know how you be, if he say it again, I'm going to, you know, that, you just, in your, and you know what? While I'm sitting up here doing this, after I slam my gloves down with an attitude, the Lord said, and that's what I'm after right there. Because where you're going, see, I was only 21, 20. Where you're going, you can't have an attitude. Because where you going, they're going to lie on you. Where you going, they're going to talk about you. Where you going, they're not going to say thank you. They're going to close doors when you should have been open. They're going to gatekeep. They're going to do all this stuff. And if your attitude with shoveling snow, y'all hear this thing. If you get an attitude because you had to go out and shovel the sidewalk, how can I get you, put you in front of great men? And if they don't listen to you, you got to add it. They ain't even listening to me. I'm so sick of these. See, sometimes the wilderness experience is for you to get right. Y'all hear what I'm saying? That journey, sometimes, most of the time, all the time, the journey is for you to become more and more and more and more like him. Oh, God, I feel this. I feel this, y'all. What happened? Because the famine happened. And Joseph had to go through the famine too. But guess what? God gave him the code to survive the famine. See, this is how beautiful God is. Jonathan, God is so good and is so kind and is so wonderful that he says, "I'm going to flood the earth." Guess what, Noah? You're going to go through the flood too. But because I'm a good God that's full of grace and mercy, I'm going to give you the plan on how to survive the flood. So what I'm going to do, Jonathan, is I'm going to teach you how to make something that nobody else has ever made. I'm going to teach you how to make an ark. And so now Noah builds an ark without any point of reference. He can't go down the street and see and say, hey, Mark, how you put your windows up on the top? Because I've been really having a hard time with the window on the left side. I just can't. He didn't have anybody to talk to. But the plan was, you're going through the flood, but I'm going to protect you. Oh, y'all, hear what I'm saying when I say what I'm saying. Y'all, you are going through the journey. You are going through this season. You're going through this thing. But the plan is, I got you. Just keep going. The navigation system in your car really don't care what you're going through when you're driving. You can have the music blasting. You could be crying. The navigation system's going to say 2 miles to the left. And Alicia got on my nerves. She coming in and she'll be there. I don't care. 2 miles to the left. And how many of us are arguing with our navigational system? How many of us are arguing with the very thing God put inside of us to get us to the other side? We do it every day. How are you waiting? What is your posture in your wait? I'm almost done, y'all. What is your posture in your waiting? Oh, y'all, look, Rizpah's sons died, and she sat there till the rain came. And for whatever reason, she had enough strength to fight off every animal and every bird. She says, my sons may have had to die, but we will not dishonor them. Y'all, hear what I'm saying? In Deuteronomy, it says that it's a dishonor, it's a disgrace to die and be unburied. So for those bodies to lay there for months and months and months was dishonorable. Listen, y'all. And so she stood there until the rain came, y'all. Hear what I'm saying? What I'm saying? Sometimes it don't look right. It doesn't say in the story. I'm gonna come back to Rizpah. But it doesn't say in the story that she put her middle finger up for God and said, God, you were wrong for this. You know what she did? She says, I'm going to stay here until the rain come. I'm going to stay here until the rain come. Because if this is what you needed for, if this is what you needed to stop the famine, then I'm not moving until the famine is over. See, when you are postured to wait right, when you wait right, you don't dishonor the journey. You don't dishonor the stuff. Y'all, hear me out when I say. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by that? Her sons, Mephibosheth and Armani. Armani means citadel, a fortified city. Mephibosheth means shameful. It's interesting that that's their names. And some of y'all need to, y'all, some of us inside of us, we walk in shame and guilt. And it's not shame like you in sin. It's shame as if you will never move past who you were. And so that's shame. Shame is that I'll never be able to play the piano like Jonathan. And so every time I come to the church can you sit in and play? As soon as Jonathan walk in around, I get all self-conscious. We're walking in shame. I'll never be able to do this. I'll never be able to do it like this. And so we walk in shame. He said it was a citadel. It was a fortified. His name was like a fortified city. And so what we've done is we've built a wall around our shame, and we walk in this thing every day. We have to put it to death today. All right. I got to go. Watch this. Is this good to y'all? Okay. Go to Matthew 3. Listen, this is a revelation. This is a revelation that the Lord gave me. I gotta do it like this, y'all. I like the word, y'all. Y'all like the word? I be up in this mug all the time, in this mug. Y'all forgive me. I'm from Kansas City. and a little country too, so it's all messed up. Matthew 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, ye, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. All right. Hang out with me. John is here. And he says, prepare. Prepare. Jesus shows up. John gets his head cut off. Now go to Matthew 8, verse 20. You got it? Watch this. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds, they have their nest, but the Son of Man don't have a place to lay his head. John said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Then got his head cut off. Jesus says, I'm here and I need a place to put my head. Okay. So remember, let's rewind all the way back to the beginning. When I said that I am important to God, but I am valuable because I'm a part of the body, right? So when I think about the body of Christ, y'all, Jesus is looking for a place to put his head. He is the head of the body. Y'all understand what I'm saying? This is why this is so important. This is why this revelation is so important. We spend too much time preparing for something that we already have. The kingdom of heaven is not coming. The kingdom of heaven is within you already. Okay. All right. Y'all didn't shout on that one? Okay, I'll give you something else to shout about then. You don't have to fast and pray for righteousness. You don't have to sit down with sackcloth and ashes and mourn for God to make you better. Guess what he did? He said, you can't keep the rules right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you imputed righteousness. So the righteousness that you need to live, I'm going to put inside of you already. So guess what? I don't got to fast for this righteousness. I don't got to pray for this righteousness. It's in me. So as long as you're waiting and preparing, you're never living the way he told you to live. You've been preparing for 20 years and it still ain't got there yet because it's already in you. John the Baptist got his head cut off. We got to get out of the season of, I'm just getting ready. Oh, I'm going to get ready. We got to move from that season and let Christ be the head now. Guess what? I say this all the time. I say, God, you don't buy a car. And then they send you the steering wheel 2 weeks later. When you get the car, you get everything that's supposed to be in the car. He didn't save you and say, a part's soon to come. He saved you and then put you on a journey and said, now on this journey, I'm gonna start activating stuff in you that you didn't even know was there. Oh, God. Yo, I'm not trying to get right. I am right. He already put righteousness inside of me. I don't gotta fast for this. I don't gotta pray for 21 days for this. No. It's already there. Wait a minute, you don't believe it. Go to Colossians 1 then. See, what I learned, I've been preaching for a long time. And so what I learned is that, you know, because people don't believe you, so you gotta show them what the words say. And then, well, that's what they say. I can't argue with it.
Colossians. Somebody stole out my Bible. Hold on, y'all. Hold. Rough up here, man. Colossians 1. My. Verse 19. Colossians 1, verse 19, it says, For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. Now go to 26. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Guess what the mystery was? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, if you go back to verse 19, he said it pleased the Father that the fullness of God dwelled in Jesus. And then Jesus had the nerve to turn around and then put himself inside of me and say, now the fullness of the Father is in you. Go! Stop preparing and go! Stop! Stop waiting and go! So then the question is, Alex, who are you while you wait? That is the question. Who are you while you're waiting? Who am I then? Because I do gotta wait. But I'm not no jelly back, weak kneed. No, God, I just Lord, you just do it for me. No, not in this season. No. Your days of crying, because I just don't understand, it's over today, because that part of you is dead. You got to bury that stuff. It's gone. Shame is gone. You know why? Because the fullness of the Godhead is inside of you. Ah, the fullness of the Godhead is inside of you. I don't live like a chump because he gave me the call to the plan. First Corinthians 2, verse 9. Lord Jesus. I told you I was rough up here. I've been having this Bible since 2004. My mother-in-law bought me a new one, and I still can't part with this one. First Corinthians 2, verse 9 and verse 10. You ready? It says, but it is written, I have not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We stop right there and we shout right there, don't we? Oh. What does verse 10 say? But God has done what? Reveal them to who? The Spirit, for the Spirit searches the mind, yea, the deep things of God. There is nothing strange happening to you, because whatever God has prepared for you, the Spirit that is living inside of you will tell you what you're going to do. I didn't make it up. That's what the book said. So then, in this season we're in now, we approach it like this. I know God is good, and I know he's wise. So there's nothing bad happening to me that God is not using to make the body better. They lying on you, but it's okay. There might be a famine coming, and I need them to lie on you to put you in a position so that I can elevate you. Yeah, let them lie on you. You don't got to defend your name. Jesus said, I could call down angels from heaven, and that my army come down here and tear it up. You know, Caesar ain't ready for this. I lay my life down, because when I pick it up, I'm not only picking up me, but you don't understand, Pontius, I'm picking you up too. See, I got to lay it down because when I get up, I got to pick Barabbas up too. Y'all, I got to make a way for all of them to come to me now. So I got to lay it down. Jesus was like, God, let the cup pass, but not my will. Sometimes you got to go. John the Baptist, all his job was to prepare the way, and then he died. And so now we're into a new dispensation where the preparation is over. Now we're walking into the kingdom. He gave us a river of living water springing up, a well of living water springing up, everlasting life. I'm not waiting to go to eternal life. I'm living in everlasting life right now. He made me in his image and his likeness. He gave me what they call human nature. And we thought it was a dirty word until Jesus stepped up on the scene. When Jesus stepped on the scene, he didn't come as a ghost. He didn't come as an angel. He didn't come as a grown man. He came as a baby. And then when he came as a baby, they called him the Theanthropus, the God man. He's all God and all man. And when he got on the scene, y'all, he got on the scene and he showed us how we were supposed to live as humans that has a divine nature. Y'all, my human nature ain't that bad. My human nature was given to me by God to create, to move. Y'all, that's why people are still creating stuff out of nowhere. Y'all, you understand what I'm saying? I told my guys this in group last week, that somebody had the bright idea and said, we shouldn't probably be living outside. How about we build a house? Somebody had to be the first person to build the house. Where'd they get the idea from? The human nature that God put in them. His likeness. Oh. So then Jesus stood up on the scene and said, I'm going to show you, because you're not God, but I'm going to give you access to my divine nature. So now, not only do you have this human nature that you can do in your own strength, now I'm going to give you something that you can't do on your own strength. That's the divine nature. Y'all hear what I'm saying today? Wait a minute. I got one more verse for you. Because then that means when Romans 8:28 says, he says, for we know that all things work together for the good of them who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. That means that, Father, I love you. I'm almost done, y'all. What that means is that I can rest assured that I'm going to get to the other side because it's working for my purpose. It's working for my good because my God is good and my God is wise. Go to Galatians one more time. I got to let this thing go, y'all. Go to Galatians 2. Ooh. I ain't going to hold you. Yeah, I'm almost through here. Y'all, watch this. Galatians 2. I'm going to wrap this up with this. Watch this. Verse 16. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus that might be justified by faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Watch this. But if we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. I gotta put a pause in your track record, because most believers are under the impression that I gotta keep doing all this stuff to get saved. Well, you know, if you go down to that place, you know what's gonna happen? Gotta be careful because the devil's busy. Are you serious? You telling me the footstool, the ottoman, can dismantle the finished work of the cross in me? Is his blood that weak? You go down to the house of blues, man. Ain't no telling what. You go down there, there's some, the devil busy. Really? you better watch your kids. If your kids say there's something in the closet, you better be careful because they're more sensitive to the spirit than us. Really? So he can come into my kids' room but not go anywhere else? The devil is a liar. He has no access to me. Why? So he says, so Paul makes a stop. He said, you ain't the same as them. Because if you say you could be justified by Christ and you still a sinner, then is Christ is he out here justifying, is he out here giving out sin? God forbid. What's the rest of the Bible say? He says, for I build again the things which I destroy. I make myself a transgressor. When you stay in the preparation process where you think you're going to work yourself into the promised land, you make yourself a transgressor. Why? Well, I'm going to tell you why. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. I live now the life that I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Watch this, verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Wait a minute, because that word frustrate is what King James says, but the Greek says I annul. What's the word annul? Annul is to make invalid, to set aside, to thwart. So grace is the elevator. Oh, y'all. Grace is a healer. So if I then think that I can fast my way into this, now I'm not saying you don't need to fast. I'm not saying you don't need to pray. I'm saying that fasting don't get it. It's already given to you. Ah, oh, sometimes you got to fast to see a little better, to get you out of the way. But fasting ain't the answer to get it. It's already in you. You just got to get out of the way. And so sometimes you got to kill your flesh to get out of the way. But the Bible says, if I think that I can get this by doing all of this stuff, I make the grace of God of no effect in my life. God knew me. So he is not surprised by my sin. He is not surprised by my appetites. He is not surprised by the things that want to draw me away. But he is good because he says, I put the answer to keep you from falling inside of you. And that's why we say, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. So all I need to do now is lean on the keeper. That's a good place to shout. Play the piano, then I'll be done. So what does RISPA got to do with this? RISPA, she's sitting on this rock. And she's beating off the birds. And beating off the beast and coming to take her boys. Why? Because she says, they had to die, but they won't be dishonored. Don't dishonor your weight by waiting wrong. What do I mean? Waiting wrong means I got to do all this stuff. Then God moves. He's good. Now, there are things that we have to do. Don't get that twisted. But even though there's things that we have to do, those things that we have to do is not keeping God from being God. Maybe he's telling you to fast because your attitude sucks. Maybe he's telling you to fast because there's a pride issue that you didn't know you had. Maybe he's telling you take the job with the lesser money in this season because the promotion that I'm going to give you, you got to be in the mailroom to get.
I know it's quicker to go this way, but I know your heart. And if you see this, you'll leave. And I love you enough to take you the long way so that when you get to Jericho and it's time to fight, you know how. You don't have to fight this battle yet. Because what I'm going to show you is that there's about to be times that you're going to have 10,000 people, Gideon. And I'm going to break it all the way down to 300. But then I'm going to tell you, don't bring a sword. Bring a horn and a lamp and get on the horse. And all you're going to have to do is blow the horn. And chaos, see, God don't fight the way everybody else fight. So what he tell you to do sometimes don't math. The math don't be math. And what you mean? What you mean take? What? You don't need to fight in this battle. God, there's a lot of people out there. Actually, what I want you to do is I want you to put the singers in the front. You sure you want to put the singers? They ain't lifted a sword in a day in their life. You want to put, I'm telling you right now, don't put me on the front line. Put them on the front line and then have them say, for the Lord is good and his mercy endure forever. And he does it. And guess what? It said confusion through the enemy's camp that they turn their swords on each other. And then God says, okay, guys, watch this. Go and get the spoils. And it took them 3 days. You ready for something even crazier? God was like, Joshua was like, God, now we're going to lose this battle. Can the sun stand still for us? God didn't only stop the rotation of the sun and the moon. He had to stop the whole universe so it all. Do you know the power of God that is inside of you? Not no weak Christian. I'm a part of the body of Christ. You can have church. I don't want church. I want to be a part of the body. Because the head of the church, the head of the body is Jesus. And where he moves, I'm moving. Where he goes, I'm going. Somebody give God praise in this place. Somebody give God praise in this place. Because I'm going somewhere. I'm not preparing anymore. I'm not preparing for it. It's here. I'm not on my way. Preparing for it. We don't, it's like when you're getting ready to go somewhere, you pack, and then you go, the packing's already done. Y'all, the packing's already done. Oh God, the pack, you'll understand it better by and by. Just keep going now. Just keep going. I know it's hard. I can imagine Rispa looking down at her babies and she's crying and she says, I don't understand this. And I'm hungry too. This is messed up. But God, if this is gonna save Israel, I'll save it. We'll do it. God is doing something so spectacular in your life. And it's saving you. And it's saving the body. You're an answer that you didn't even know. So don't dishonor this wait. Father, don't let us dishonor the waiting process. Ah, yeah, Masha Kandi Adala Masio. God, don't let me dishonor. Don't let me. There's some things that you got to bury. There's some things you got to put to death. There's some things that got to go so that you can move. And so it's time to go. We've been preparing too long. It's time to go. It's time to produce something. It's time to produce something. The creator of the universe is inside of you. What's the answer? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Ah, God. Oh, y'all bless the Lord in this place. Oh, come on, bless the Lord in this place. Come on, bless the Lord in this place.